You'll hear three different extracts. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer A, B or C, which fits best according to what you hear. There are 2 questions for each extract. Extract 1. You hear 2 people talking about public speaking. Now look at questions 1 and 2.
I dread the experience. It's the anticipation that gets me. Once I start, I'm usually okay, but beforehand I panic. I think that my mind will go blank and everyone will stare at me. This happened once. I was trying to speak and listen to my own voice at the same time, but all I could hear was silence. I seemed to have forgotten how to speak and I felt my face go red. I fumbled for my notes and simply read out the rest of the speech.
Well, fear of public speaking, or what is called pre-presentational anxiety, is normal. If you think about it, public speaking is not a natural thing to do. You don't want to humiliate yourself in front of people. But with preparation and practice, even the most stressed public speakers can conquer their fears. There are very few people who are quick, intelligent, and extrovert enough to just get up and deliver something spontaneously. If you're giving a speech, you must carefully plan what you're going to say.
I find it also helps not to think of yourself the whole time. Once you shift the focus onto the people you are speaking to, you feel the pressure lift.
Now you will hear the recording again.
I dread the experience. It's the anticipation that gets me. Once I start, I'm usually okay, but beforehand I panic. I think that my mind will go blank and everyone will stare at me. This happened once. I was trying to speak and listen to my own voice at the same time, but all I could hear was silence. I seemed to have forgotten how to speak and I felt my face go red. I fumbled for my notes and simply read out the rest of the speech.
Well, fear of public speaking, or what is called pre-presentational anxiety, is normal. If you think about it, public speaking is not a natural thing to do. You don't want to humiliate yourself in front of people. But with preparation and practice, even the most stressed public speakers can conquer their fears. There are very few people who are quick, intelligent, and extrovert enough to just get up and deliver something spontaneously. If you're giving a speech, you must carefully plan what you're going to say.
I find it also helps not to think of yourself the whole time. Once you shift the focus onto the people you are speaking to, you feel the pressure lift.
Extract 2. You hear part of a radio program about the London Underground. Now look at questions 3 and 4.
As part of a huge publicity drive in the 1920s and 1930s, London Transport launched a poster campaign to persuade people to move into the suburbs and to make use of the rapidly expanding underground network. Tell us about that, Zoe.
Well, the posters were used to encourage people to live in and enjoy the quiet and domestic life of the suburbs and travel into London for work and leisure. They helped to shape people's perceptions and expectations of London and what it meant to live there in a period of great change. As well as persuading people to move out to the suburbs, there was a drive for people to make use of the city at a time when the leisure industry was expanding.
What kind of things did these posters show?
Well, despite the fact that many women worked in the 1920s and 1930s, the posters depicted a domestic ideal, with pictures of women playing with their children in the park and preparing meals for their husband's return. More and more people were becoming middle class, and part of this ideal was that the husband would go to work and the wife would stay at home, even though this was not the case for many families.
Now you will hear the recording again.
As part of a huge publicity drive in the 1920s and 1930s, London Transport launched a poster campaign to persuade people to move into the suburbs and to make use of the rapidly expanding underground network. Tell us about that, Zoe.
Well, the posters were used to encourage people to live in and enjoy the quiet and domestic life of the suburbs and travel into London for work and leisure. They helped to shape people's perceptions and expectations of London and what it meant to live there in a period of great change. As well as persuading people to move out to the suburbs, there was a drive for people to make use of the city at a time when the leisure industry was expanding.
What kind of things did these posters show?
Well, despite the fact that many women worked in the 1920s and 1930s, the posters depicted a domestic ideal, with pictures of women playing with their children in the park and preparing meals for their husband's return. More and more people were becoming middle class, and part of this ideal was that the husband would go to work and the wife would stay at home, even though this was not the case for many families.
Extract 3. You hear two people discussing the news media. Now look at questions 5 and 6.
Of course, the cliché is don't believe everything you read in the papers. And I guess there's some truth in that. But in many ways, that's not backed up by the evidence. Look at all the times when stories would never have come out if it hadn't been for the much maligned news media.
I don't know about that. Personally, I'm always pretty sceptical when it comes to all these revelations. I mean, look at medical stories. It sometimes seems as if every day brings some new health scare. You mustn't eat that, you should drink that, and most of these things you never hear about again. I think it'd be really interesting to find out how many of these stories actually turn out to be true. I reckon they just write these things to create a stir. I mean, lots of them are in the entertainment industry, really, aren't they? Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story is the joke in the trade, isn't it? I think lots of them live by that.
I don't think that's really fair. There are lots of investigative journalists who've done the public a great service by exposing things they otherwise would never have known about.
Now you will hear the recording again.
Of course, the cliché is don't believe everything you read in the papers. And I guess there's some truth in that. But in many ways, that's not backed up by the evidence. Look at all the times when stories would never have come out if it hadn't been for the much maligned news media.
I don't know about that. Personally, I'm always pretty sceptical when it comes to all these revelations. I mean, look at medical stories. It sometimes seems as if every day brings some new health scare. You mustn't eat that, you should drink that, and most of these things you never hear about again. I think it'd be really interesting to find out how many of these stories actually turn out to be true. I reckon they just write these things to create a stir. I mean, lots of them are in the entertainment industry, really, aren't they? Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story is the joke in the trade, isn't it? I think lots of them live by that.
I don't think that's really fair. There are lots of investigative journalists who've done the public a great service by exposing things they otherwise would never have known about.